championship weekend. I mean, it doesn't get no better than that.
Well, actually, it does.
The Super Bowl's coming. Super Bowl's coming, but speechless on that weekend. This is the push off. Set 'em up and knock 'em down till the early morning light. Till you're laughing on the ground, drinking every single night. Where we're going, we don't know. And where we're going, we don't know. Where we're going, we don't know until we know. Where we're going, we don't know. And where we're going, we don't know. Where we're going, we don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Push Off Podcast. You know this podcast. It is the weekly NFL show that tells you about everything that happened last weekend, gets you ready for the next. I am your host, Scott Hogan. Sitting across from the table from me today is
Dan, keeping them flags in his pockets right.
Dan, we just had ourselves the conference championship weekend.
The number one versus the number two seed of the AFC and the NFC. God damn it, were these fantastic games.
Both of them to overtime.
First time ever.
I have not watched a better back-to-back games. Like, one game ended, yeah. All right, turn on the next game. All this year long, for sure, it has to have been multiple years since I've seen something like this.
This was fantastic. So here's how I know it was great. This went the exact way I didn't want it to go.
Right. As far as teams that won.
As far as teams winning, this is the exact thing I didn't want. There was a 25% chance of this happening, and it fucked me.
Yeah.
But if that's what it took for us to get the games of these quality, fine.
This rather than your two teams that you wanted to win blowing out the competition, right?
Yeah, if they rolled over their opponent teams, if the Chiefs had rolled over the Patriots and the Saints had rolled over the Rams, I would have been like, great, I got what I wanted, but not how I wanted it.
Yes.
This is not what I wanted, but exactly how I wanted it.
So many good things to talk about in those games. So let's real quickly push through this news and what I've got here for this week so we can talk about them. Because in the second half of this show, we're going to do our little how to watch the Super Bowl.
It's a guide for non-football fans.
There you go.
Because and for those of you listening at home, I'm sure you've got loved ones or friends or family. We're going to try to give them a hand in. We're going to try to open a door, say this is how you can watch this game and not be one of those like, I don't care. None of this makes any sense to me.
Yep.
We're going to get you there. We're going to take those first couple steps with you. And if you're more interested, hey, listen to next week's episode.
That's right. Yeah, this is a podcast. It's all recorded. You don't have to put them on immediately. Whoever you're watching the game with, you can put this on anytime between now and when the game plays, which is February 3rd, I believe.
February 3rd.
So you have up until then, if you want like a girlfriend or a special someone in your life or a child that's maybe getting into the football viewing of it.
Well, no. Don't.
Really?
We're going to curse.
Oh, okay. Careful with the language here. The language still flows.
Sorry.
So a child of age.
A teen.
Yes.
A teen is fine.
You know, one that's coming upon their own and have heard those words around the home.
Yeah.
But that's what we're going to be talking about in the second half of this show. So keep that in mind as we get there.
This is not our official Super Bowl preview.
That's true, too.
If you're a football fan, this is not our preview. This is just a guide.
We'll have a whole nother episode to talk about the matchup of Super Bowl 52-3.
Going
to
deep dive that thing.
Yeah, because we can deep dive it, and we'll have that for next week. But we'll hit talk about it a little bit here because now we know the matchup. All right, Dan. Starting with the news, I want to start with the Antonio Bryant meltdown that is still occurring. Some tweets and stuff.
Antonio Brown, you mean?
Antonio Brown. What did I say?
Antonio Bryant.
Oh, my God.
Former Dallas Cowboy and Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Antonio Brown.
I remember Antonio Bryant. Antonio Brown and his meltdown. It was just some Twitter things that came out. It seems like teammates are maybe turning against him a little bit. There was something between him and the owner.
Yeah.
And isn't looking good for Brown, at least staying in Pittsburgh.
I don't think he will be. We mentioned this a little bit, that it was super stupid that this is even happening in the first place, but it looks like Antonio will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler next year, which means in the past 3 years, they will be down Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
And that's part of the reason why this might be a good idea, even though he is a generational talent at wide receiver, is that this would be the second year, at least, that you've dealt with some really messy off-the-field stuff that draws attention away from just playing football.
You got to do this shit pre-draft, though. You've got to do it pre-draft. You cannot be like, oh, well, we'll see if we're in a position to draft his replacement. You can't draft his replacement. It's impossible. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Right. No, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be your replacement probably for next year unless you get somebody off free agency.
Yeah.
He'll move to number one, but yeah, then you're lacking
weapons. You like the kid
weapons
out of Oklahoma State, but that's about it.
That's right.
James Washington.
Yeah,
they got.
I forgot his name there for a second.
They got him in the draft, and that'll be another weapon maybe. But no, this is a Pittsburgh team that had a plethora of weapons, or so we thought, heading into this last season. And now slowly, just a lot of problems off the field.
There is a winnowing down of talent there in Pittsburgh. There's an aging and a winnowing. Those are two things you don't want happening.
Nope. And so something to watch here with Antonio Brown and their wide receiver crew, running backs and the like, all of their skill positions next offseason.
You know, the shit that matters.
Right.
You know, the sexy spots.
We did get a new head coach hiring. The Bengals head coach hiring is Zack Snyder. Mm-hmm. So that is for sure
Zach
now.
Zach Taylor.
Did I say? Oh my God, I said Snyder. I am off on these names today. Well, thank God you're here, Dan.
You're naming guys that exist.
Are, yes. my guess is that this is Google changing my text, going, you meant this last
probably
one. You meant this one.
I think it'd be funny if Zack Snyder actually did.
Got
he's going to direct
the Bengals. Yeah.
He's like, we're shooting everything in slow motion. Like, cool, you guys lost 104 to nothing.
Nobody's moving.
But we
Nobody's
looked.
Going the field.
We looked so good.
But Zach Taylor now, which we've talked about a little bit last week, not a bad pick, but this is the. No. This is the you've been with McVay. Please tell us.
Yes, you touched him. You touched the McVay.
Please bring it to Cincinnati. Bring that magic, because he's going to be heading to the Super Bowl now. So maybe McVay is what people should be aiming towards. But does he have a tree? Is the tree growing plentiful fruit?
Yeah,
that's what we're going to find out.
It's funny because they haven't officially named it, but Brian Flores is absolutely the coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
I don't know why they haven't announced this, especially after Zach Taylor. You go, okay, well, both of us are leaving.
Yeah.
You know we're leaving. The only reason they haven't announced who the head coach is because you're still on the fucking Patriots.
Still got a job, right.
We know it's you, dude.
I guess he hasn't gone over there and signed on the dotted line yet, so things could change.
True.
Indianapolis Colts.
That's true.
They could always change their mind to get that signature down. I'm hearing the John Harbaugh get an extension for the Ravens.
He'll Fittingly?
He'll be staying there, which Ravens turned that season around when they were talking about maybe him leaving, but... Was it John Harbaugh always? Did he save himself a job here?
I think he saved his job. I think people realized that Joe Flacco's diminishing skill set really was costing him a lot, and he was a real millstone around the neck of that team. Having a replacement, having a guy that, you know, you say, hey, who's going to work better with a feisty, young, scrambling quarterback than a Harbaugh?
Mm.
You know, did it in San Francisco. We're going to do it again here. He did what he could with Flacco. Flacco was, you know, his guy. But it's over now.
Yeah.
You know, Harbaugh's team is now a scrambling team. We're a run-heavy team. They're a special teams team. That's what they do.
Yeah. And so that's where John Harbaugh got his start. So
yeah, he was special teams for the Eagles for years.
Yeah. So, okay. Perhaps it went in there. John Harbaugh's always been a competent head coach, so I was going to be surprised to see him go, even though it just basically seems like, well, we're having a change of the guard in Baltimore. That's all this is. So let's see if... John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson can make some success like he had with Flacco and the strong defenses.
To give Jackson a year of consistency as well, to say, hey, there's not going to be major changes. You know, you're still coming into the same place. You still have a head coach that believes in you. And now you have a head coach where you say, hey, I got this job because you did well, you know, because you made it happen for me.
Coordinator news, Dan Scott Linehan, he's out as offensive coordinator for the Cowboys.
Scott. I thought once that I could only get so erect.
Oh, boy.
But I was wrong.
Oh?
Because when Scott Linehan was fired, I punched a hole through my desk at work, and I didn't do it with my fist.
Okay.
That's a solid mahogany desk, Scott.
What are your thoughts on the rumor that the new offensive coordinator will be Kellen Moore?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore is just one of those guys. He's one of those quarterbacks that just hung around the league for so long.
He was in the building for so long. Yeah, he knows where the offices are.
He was Linehan's backup in Detroit. Then he came to Chicago. He came to Dallas because he knew the system. And then they basically looked around and said, hey, you know that guy Cooper Kupp? He's better than you. Please retire. And Linehan was fair enough, just went, hey, I need a new QB coach. Why don't you come over?
It's not Cooper Kupp, Cooper Rush.
Oh.
You did it now.
I did it.
Hey,
God, it's infectious.
We're all a little off.
It's infectious.
It's been a long season. What do you do? But, yeah, Cooper Rush. Yeah, that's right. Cooper Kupp is the wide receiver for the Rams.
Cooper Kupp is a much worse quarterback than, although he'd probably be all right.
Maybe not. Yeah, who knows? Arthur Smith is going to be the Titans' new offensive coordinator. Now, he was just their assistant coach. So
yeah,
this is
just
an in-house guy.
Yeah, it's a logical Logical move.
Right. I just want to put that out there because we learn about offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators now on this show. You get deeper. Jack Del Rio, there's a rumor that he might be back to defensive coordinator in Cincinnati.
That's a smart move. The dude is fucking gifted defensively. I mean, he
built
was,
that Jags D.
He really did. He built the Jags D. He built the Raiders D a couple years ago, right, which was really good. They gutted the fucking thing. But Khalil Mack is a Jack Del Rio player. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
He helped Khalil Mack, who is a freak, all-time athletic freak. He helped him build that skill set.
Yeah, and he found him in, where was it? Khalil Mack's college was?
Buffalo,
yeah. So yeah. Good eye for guys here, Jack Del Rio. Adam Gase is bringing on his offensive coordinator from Miami to the Jets, Dowell Loggins.
Dowell Loggins is just a guy.
Yeah, you know, I think we've brought him up before here.
Yeah, Dowell Loggins is just a fucking guy. Adam Gase is going to control that offense anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
And Gase has brought him from Chicago to Miami to the Jets. And
everybody.
He hasn't had too many flash in the pans or top offenses, so it's kind of a surprise. And again, this is a worry that the Jets are just...
Dowell Loggins strikes me as like, you know the bullies in like 60s and 70s movies and TV shows, like The Christmas Story.
Okay.
Where like there's the main bully, like Scott Farkas.
Yes.
You know, and then his like the henchman. One.
Yeah.
That's Dowell Loggins. So like Adam Gase.
The short one with the Kangol cap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Adam Gase is like fucking Scott Farkas, where you're like, there's something there. Like there's some athleticism, there's some meanness. And then you're like, who the fuck is this guy? It's Dowell Loggins.
It's like, yeah, man.
Yeah,
right,
come on,
him.
Adam, let's not ever run correctly. Let's make Ryan Tannehill throw all the time. Yeah.
So those are the news that we have for coordinators and head coaches. A couple other reports that came out that are just kind of interesting ones. The big one that came out right after the championship weekend was Carson Wentz, is he selfish? This came out as the Philly Voice had numerous sources that said that Wentz has been attacked for not being a team guy and complicating the offense. What do you think?
Yeah, fuck that. I mean, he's the number two overall pick.
Well, he didn't want to run the, quote, Foles plays, and he wanted to just do what he does well.
I mean, that's also probably not stupid. Like, Nick Foles has a different skill set than he does.
So since this report came out, most of the teammates have come out saying it's not true. We love Wentz. He's our guy. He's going to be the starting quarterback next year. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the funny thing about unnamed sources.
Yeah,
is that I'm sure there's some guy that's like Carson Wentz sucks. I fucking hate Carson Wentz. He's such a dickhead. But I'm also sure there's like 30 or 40 dudes that are like, nah, Carson's all right. And I'm sure there's at least 10 people that are like, I have no opinion on Carson Wentz.
You're right. I mean, this makes it sound like they're not questioning his skill set. They're questioning his personality mostly and how he deals with things. And maybe there's a little bit of truth to that.
Who the fuck is from North Dakota? What personality?
Right. Or maybe the Philly Voice is like, we really like Foles. Let's throw some dirt on number 11.
Oh, Philadelphia loves Foles.
So could you not see a little bit of a smear campaign?
Sure.
Against the other QB?
But what's the fucking point?
It's not. It hurts their team, yeah, and their franchise. But yeah.
But it does sell papers.
That's right. Yeah. So teammates saying it's not true, and this will be a news thing that we won't even hear about next week, but that's what's going around right now.
You remember when Tony Romo went to Cabo?
No.
With Jessica Simpson? That
I mean,
off?
I remember the relationship, but, and when she showed up, he started losing. I remember that stuff.
So he was, we were
the
number one
seed. Cabo.
We were the number one seed. We had a bye week, and during the bye week, he and Jason Witten and Jessica Simpson went to Cabo.
Just the three.
No, when Jason Witten's wife was there, too. But those two buddies and, you know, his girlfriend went. And they were like, what a distraction. It's like, actually, it wasn't a distraction. It's just motherfuckers going to cop. Like, it's their bye week. It's their off week. They're supposed to be able to do that. The distraction was people fucking talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the distraction was not, we did this thing. The distraction isn't Carson Wentz being perhaps a bit selfish. Because all fucking quarterbacks are going to be a bit selfish.
There is multiple 24-hour news organizations out there. If Tony Romo is going to Cabo with a...
pop star at the time?
What is then? Yeah, a pop star. Not anymore, but a pop star at the time. Yeah, that's going to get news. Sorry, that's going to get news.
Totally.
Now, you can't blame him for it because Tony Romo wants to get his, so let him get his.
He's
a starting QB of the NFL.
He's a starting QB of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, if he
Tony
wants...
Romo... is fine looking.
Yeah.
But you know what?
He's got...
Motherfucker did work. Did work.
Okay, good for him.
Good for him. His current wife is foine.
Yes.
Foine. Candace Crawford is foine. Foine as hell. And he's got a bunch of kids, and he's doing okay, and he's the best announcer in the NFL.
As we all heard, yeah.
I hope Carson Wentz, when eventually Philly trades him, because Philly's a cesspool of a fucking city, when they trade him, because they're like, you're not exactly what we want. We want Nick Foles back again for fucking 2 years for $90 million for no reason. When they trade Carson Wentz, because yeah. they're idiots, I hope he has a tremendous amount of success somewhere else.
I know
I really
you
do.
Of course you do.
My favorite thing that ever occurred in life, it goes in this order. My daughter's birth, my marriage, Bill Burr's stand-up set in Philadelphia where he ruins the city. Have you ever heard that?
I don't think so. I need to listen
to it. Go home, listen to Bill Burr's stand-up set in the city of Philadelphia. It is fucking gold.
There's one specific one. It's not a year I got
to
find.
No, you don't have to find it. It's Bill Burr, Philadelphia. Oh, my God.
It'll come up. Okay.
It is the tastiest.
I'll give it a listen. Finally, the last bit of news I had here, which is just a fun little thing. So apparently, Matt Hasselbeck came out saying that he got a call from a, quote, contender this season wanting to know if he was in a shape to play. The man is 43 years old.
Matt Hasselbeck?
Matt Hasselbeck.
There's only two teams I could think would do this.
One came to mind right away.
Colts?
Nope, that's not the one that came to mind.
Who'd you think?
Redskins. This season, a contender. Middle of the year.
Oh, middle of the year?
Oh, yeah. This was during the season.
To start?
I mean, to at least get signed off the street. You don't sign a guy off the street if you weren't hoping that he could. I mean, they wanted to know if he could play at 43 years old and being out of the league the last 5-6 years.
The team that I saw doing it was potentially the Colts.
But they had Luck, and last
year
they
had Brissett.
They last second when got Brissett. So Luck was always a question mark thing, but I felt like they had Luck all through offseason and into this
season.
They did.
No, this season the only reason to do it is because he would have been like mildly familiar with, you know,
because he used to be there. That's a good point.
He used to be the backup there.
But, I mean, that was a different coaching staff.
Yeah, and the only other team I could really think, because Washington, of course, because they were just scraping the absolute bottom of the fucking
barrel. Quarterbacks, yeah, they needed a quarterback.
The only other place I could think was potentially Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because Flacco might have been like, I'm not even fucking playing this game. I'm not going to do anything. They wanted a little bit of veteran leadership there, yeah. maybe. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, Matt Hasselbeck has not been good for over 8 years.
And he hasn't been playing for six.
No, he was great. He was great. There was one time when Matt Hasselbeck was a potential MVP.
I remember, yeah.
But that was long ago.
That was his Seahawk year there when he brought when
Sean Alexander
Holmgren brought him over as backup from Green Bay.
I mean, we want the ball and we're gonna win.
Yeah,
immortalized. We're gonna win. But he had three or four, almost six great seasons after that.
They won the toss there. How did they not win? Don't you win the toss? And
pick
you just
six,
go down
baby.
And win?
Pick six.
We're gonna be talking about that overtime.
Oh,
we know we are. In fact, we're there. We're there now.
Oh, it's happening.
There's no break. The break is gonna take place after we talk about these two games. So let's talk about them in the order they happened on Sunday. That means we begin with the overtime. They're all both overtime.
It's true.
That's great. The overtime win, the LA Rams beating the New Orleans Saints in the NFC Championship game, 26-23. The Rams are our NFC host for or our NFC team for the Super Bowl.
What a strange word you used. Beat. Instead of robbed from.
We could start there. Let's start at the beginning of the game. First of all, a little bit on the stats. Goff had nearly 300 yards passing, one touchdown, one pick. But stat line, not as good as his game, honestly, as I believe.
Yeah.
Cooks, 107 yards passing. He was their weapon on the Rams side. Breeze, two touchdowns, one pick. Ooh, one awful, awful pick. Bad time. Kamara, 111 total yards from scrimmage. He was their weapon. But this was a Saints team that led 13-0 in the second quarter.
13-0 don't mean nothing.
Don't mean nothing.
You can, if that thing is not three or four scores, it is surmountable.
I mean, it was nearly 17-0, and the Saints came roaring back on the Vikings last year. So
absolutely,
these were two teams. And earlier, the first matchup, it was like 17-6 or 31-17.
The Rams came storming back.
So the Rams make it a point to come storming back in games like this. So
I watched this game, and all I could think about was, "Wow, New Orleans is clearly the better team." They were better at every level. The only level they weren't better was maybe the front four of the defensive line. You could see the Saints were a little thin there. But the secondary of the Saints was really, really good. The linebackers for the Saints were really, really good. They came out and they were ready. They punched these Rams in the mouth. The Rams did the thing the Rams have done all year. They went into the halftime. They talked to McVay. And he went, I think I got this figured out.
Yeah.
And he did. They came back and they were on fucking fire.
13-7 or something like that at halftime, and they turned it around, scoring fast, and they didn't have their best weapon, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley only had 5 touches in this game.
Yeah.
He wasn't hurt. He had an interview afterwards, and he just said, nope, I didn't play well. CJ deserved to be out there. I did not. I mean, he fumbled. He had an early touchdown,
yeah,
which wasn't a bad run. But other than that, yeah, I mean, late in the game, you just shots of Gurley standing there in the sidelines, helmet in his hands, and CJ Anderson out there running the rock.
Which worries the shit out of me for them in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. You need Gurley at his 100%, and he hasn't been since his injury.
Get that motherfucker a therapist.
Right. I think he's healthy. I don't think it's
he's
body
got the
anymore.
Yips.
Yeah.
He's got the yips. Todd Gurley's got the yips, and that's so bad, man.
Yeah,
especially for a young running back with all that money. Or if I'm Todd Gurley, I got re-signed to that thing, I'll be like, I can probably just get another year out of this contract and walk away without injury. This would be nice.
So let's jump down to the big questionable call. This
is it questionable?
No, okay. It wasn't. It was completely missed. Everybody said it's missed. The refs have said it's missed.
Roby Coleman was like, oh yeah, no, I got away with that
yes.
shit.
I mean, the play itself, you see Roby Coleman run around in the middle of the backfield and racing over there to get in front of number 11 there for the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
He was late to the coverage, to lining up opposite him. He was late mm-hmm. to it. So as he's running over there, it's just a matter of, I got to get there. He thought he was going to be late and the guy was going to have the ball in his hands. Really, if he just turned around,
could have picked it.
Probably would have been an interception.
Yep.
But he was too afraid of being over there late that he just ran right into him.
Which, this one should set off alarm bells for any of the Zebras.
Mm-hmm.
Is he playing the ball? No, he's not playing the ball. Where is the ball? Well, it's not there yet. Where is the defender? He just went through the motherfucker, through his head.
Yeah.
How did you miss this? How did you miss it? It was truly fucking awful. People are like, oh, it's a bang-bang play. Like, they're all bang-bang
plays.
Right.
At the moment, live, I would agree it was, but at the same time, the crowd, everybody else, how was there not another ref that went, hold on, let's come over here, let me throw a flag on the ground just yeah. so we can talk about it.
That's the big thing. Because, like, let's just throw a flag and talk about it.
Yeah.
And then you can say uncatchable.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can have a conversation. Or you can be that one referee that's like, Ezra, and by the way, as I'm talking to Scott, yeah. my eyes are just going all the way up, and it's like, yeah, I'm still talking, yeah. and I'm watching that fucking replay.
They do, yeah. They absolutely
you know they
do.
And so it's just like, hey, man, yeah, so what did you see there? I don't know. Are you watching the replay? Yeah, I'm watching the replay. What do you think? I don't know. We got to keep talking while I watch the replay. Oh, my God, it's so egregious. All you got to do.
Well,
all you got to do.
The league office was on the phone with Peyton well right after the game. Sorry about that. Yep, it was a missed call. Does the New York office, the office of referees that aren't at the game live, that look at the review plays and stuff like that, they're not even going to get in the ref's ear unless
nope.
a flag is thrown.
Unless a flag is thrown? Well, no, they won't even get in the ref's ear if a flag is thrown.
Oh, unless
they're
it's a...
They're just for replays.
Replay. Okay.
Just for replays. That's the thing that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
I understand it. And I don't want... This is what I don't want. I don't want penalties to be reviewable.
Okay, you're against that.
I'm against that.
And
that would slow down the machinations of this game tremendously.
It sure would, but would you not get the correct team then and the correct play?
Because I'll tell you exactly what would happen.
Okay.
There's an old adage, and you know it very well. There's holding on every play.
Sure.
Right? There's holding on every play. So if you really said, was this motherfucker holding, by definition... There's holding on every play.
You're right, and you can't throw a challenge flag to see if it's not the flag thrown, because that wouldn't work in this situation.
No.
The flag wasn't thrown, and you want a challenge to say it was either pass interference or cut helmet to helmet, and both
yeah.
were there. So, yeah, where do you draw it? Like, okay, then just pass interference calls. Well, then even then you're going to have a lot of those going, you know, well, he did kind of grab his outside arm, but this guy was fighting too, and you're watching a lot of those too. So you're right. I don't know if it's a clear fix of, well, just start letting them challenge those.
The only way I would allow it, or the only way I would want it allowed, is you get one per game, and you can only challenge if a flag is thrown.
Okay.
If a flag is thrown.
But again, that does not fix what happened here.
It would have, because I think if you had that mindset, and you're a referee then, because the one thing referees do not want to do, you do not want officiating to decide the game.
Right, and that, yeah.
And the problem here occurred that the official was so fucking gun-shy because he's like, oh my God, this is the game. Because it was.
That was most of this game. Most of this game, they just let him play.
And that's
fine. As it got closer and closer to the end, and this game was 20-20 with a minute 45 on the clock at that moment. So any call would have benefited that team getting the call.
Would have benefited
tremendously.
The Saints. Would have been the game. Because you would have just been able to run it and kick it with
15 seconds,
whatever the fuck.
It was 15 seconds on the clock. If they got the first there and they didn't put it in first, second, and third down and ran the ball down as full as they could because the Rams, I think, had one timeout left too, then they could have had 15 seconds left on the clock and kicked it. If Peyton played it that way, if he just kept shooting for the touchdown, I mean, the first down pass was first down play was a pass.
Yeah.
It was a tight little screen that breezes through to the feet of Thomas, but that stopped the clock too.
Now, Peyton managed that poorly.
Yes.
Let's not let Sean Peyton away from this completely.
And there's no guarantee he would have played it perfectly if they got the penalty.
True. But if he had gotten the penalty, all he would have had to do was literally take three knees
and kick a
field goal, and they're in the Super Bowl. So I'm very conflicted because, one, this is a fucking terrible thing that happens to the Saints. Yeah. Two, my old adage is whatever is most fun. And this was most fun.
Oh, sure. There's only three points. There's still seconds on the clock for the Rams to go down there and try to tie it with a field goal, and that's what they did.
Suck for the Rams, but this was more fun to say, hey, we're not going to slowly bleed out the last 2 minutes of the game. You're going to have to kick it now.
Yeah. Now this team gets a chance to fly down the field.
Let's give it a shot.
And yeah, and that made it very exciting and gave us another overtime. Here's something else. Once the ball, Rams got the ball and they were down three and got down there, they get in field goal range. There was a face mask that wasn't called.
True.
And that would have given them another first down and even closer to the end zone, and maybe the Rams could have won it in regulation. So differences there. Call that too. But as the time gets closer to the end, and yeah, and you get gun-shy as a ref, I think I agree with you. That's what happened here.
And I think that's the only thing that would help is having it one penalty challenge per game.
Yeah.
Is that at the end of a game, a ref would be like, fuck, this is close.
Yeah.
And he would just kind of throw it out there and be like, they're going to challenge it.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. Let's do the penalty.
We got to talk. I can't let this go.
You're right. We've seen that change with all touchdowns. All scoring plays are reviewable. Many more times, like, touchdown.
Yeah.
And you're like, was it, though? They could have been. They were like 2 yards short. It's like, sure, but now we can go look at it.
Yeah, the refs are so pro-touchdown now. The same way, I think, at the end of the game especially, they would be so pro-penalty, you know?
You're on to something. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe you can only challenge it in the fourth quarter. You wouldn't want the, because it doesn't matter. Penalties don't matter in the first, second, and third. They just don't.
That's the toughest thing about this is, like, there's a lot of plays, a lot of moments in this game that if they went the other way, the Saints would have won. And it's not just down to that penalty, but it kind of is due to where they were on the field and the time left on the clock.
The reason the Saints are not in the Super Bowl is because that penalty was not thrown.
Now, I'm going to say this one time and then we'll get past it, but the Saints having a couple of really questionable calls in that building and then going to overtime and then having their QB throw a heartbreaking interception that costs the turnaround that ends in a field goal and you don't go to the Super Bowl. How does that feel, Saints? How'd that feel? Who'd that feel that way? Okay, I said it.
We've never gotten death threats before, but I feel
it's past now. But let's be honest, Saints fans. 2009, you won your Super Bowl. How'd you get there? Let's go back. Let's look at the tape. And let's say maybe teach their own. Maybe everybody gets one of these days. Anyways, that's what I thought when I first watched it. But as a viewer of the NFL,
I can't follow this. That's high-level conspiracy theory.
No, it's not a conspiracy thing. I'm just saying that what's good for the goose... I'm just saying that, if you're going to take...
You mean what's good for the gray duck.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're gonna take that stuff in and host it as, we're going to go to the Super Bowl now with these very questionable calls, and, oh, you want to change Super Bowl rules or overtime rules after this game? Okay, whatever. We're still going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now it's on this side of the ball, and that's all I was thinking when it happened out loud. But I still feel bad for them. Absolutely, yeah. I do. It was wrong, and you... Guys probably should be going to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
They totally should. So, Saints fans, you're still a really good team. I don't think Breeze is done by any stretch of the imagination. His arm looked a little weaker.
Yeah.
You wonder how long that's going to be, but he's still just so exacting. He runs the shit out of that offense.
Yeah, he plays it smart.
But if it makes you feel any better, everybody, the Rams will not be back here next year.
They certainly did sell out on this season, and we'll be talking about that. That's true.
I want to talk real briefly about it because I don't take a lot of notes during the week because I just try to feel it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you a couple names.
Okay.
Saffold, their starting guard.
Okay.
Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
Their starting defensive end slash tackle.
Tackle.
Dante Fowler, LaMarcus Joyner, Sam Shields, all free agents.
Mm.
Their backup quarterback, Sean Mannion, is a free agent. That might not seem like a big deal, but that means they only have one signed quarterback in Jared Goff. They have $153 million already committed to guys under contract. How many players do they have under contract? 39 players.
Oof.
They're going to have like $10 to $12 million for the rookie pool, but aside from that, there is no room at the inn.
Mm.
There is nobody they can bring on. This team will not improve next year. Their draft pick will not make them much better. This team is dead in the water.
I mean, you're right. We saw them trying to give away that first-round draft pick they had just this year as fast as they could to try to get a wide receiver, somebody, get more weapons, and then defensive, and they wanted to get rid of that stuff too. You're right. They got rid of a lot of lower draft picks and stuff too. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be pick 30 or 31 or 32. So
yeah,
it's a little bit different there. But those are big ones for trading and stuff like that, and teams jumping into that first round, grab QB or something, or somebody they want
to. That's the advantage to be at the end of the first round now. Is it a quarterback hungry team? Is like, well, fuck it. I need 5 years of control on this guy. Let me get back into the first round.
Sure, they gave up that pick for Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks playing his old team here, New England, the next year, which is pretty interesting too. So we'll see how that goes. But. All right, Dan, also in this game, so Zuerlein hits the 48-yarder, takes the overtime, and then hits a...
Which, holy shit, that guy's leg's fantastic.
57-yarder in overtime to
Jesus
win.
Jesus Christ.
Does if this game was the Super Bowl, does he get Super Bowl MVP? Can
I think
he give
you
it to Greg the Leg Zuerlein?
Yeah, you'd have to.
The Rams do have a
first-round pick this year.
Oh, okay, so it was...
I think Cooks is their next year's first-round pick, strangely enough.
Okay, or did they give it up this last draft? And they did the trade maybe before it. It's been months since the off season. We're getting back in the off season, folks. So keep a listen to that as we'll be talking about it and where their draft picks land and who doesn't have a first rounder this year. But Zuerlein's 57-yarder to end the game to give them the win in overtime was the only time the Rams led this game. So I can talk about the game. The second game that we'll be talking about here in a moment and be like, yeah, you know, Patriots and Chiefs, it's going to come down last person of the ball. The Rams and Saints game, I have to keep reminding myself, oh, yes, the Rams won this game.
Yes.
That's
it's crazy.
It yep. Yep. Dan, do you know who's going to be – this is just something I found out, and I know you're going to enjoy this. You know who's replacing Jared Goff in the Pro Bowl now?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Dak Prescott.
Nope. Actually, Dak Prescott
is
replacing
Trubisky,
Tom Brady.
That's right. Oh,
it's
that's
Mitchell
right.
Trubisky that's replacing
Jared
Goff.
Oh, my God.
Goff.
Fuck Mitch Trubisky.
Now, let's be honest, though. What you just said, Dak Prescott going, Mitchell Trubisky going.
Dak Prescott's actually replacing Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, yeah.
Drew Brees.
That's actually true, yeah. I think Tom Brady's getting replaced by our boy, Deshaun Watson.
Which is fine.
Yeah, but here's what we're seeing. Three or four other Bears players got picked to go to the Pro Bowl now, too. Those are the other ones.
Pro Bowl doesn't
mean the
shit.
Cowboys are going to... Thank you. That's where we're at.
Pro Bowl
here.
Don't mean shit.
The best players, the players who got picked and voted on, none of them are going.
No, the only Pro Bowl shit that matters is Pro Bowl starters. That's all that matters. After that, it's like, how did you get fucking voted in here?
And a lot of it isn't it like coaches just picking guys to take the place of guys that said like I can't go, or I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Basically, like Dak Prescott doesn't deserve to be in the Pro Bowl, guys. I'm sorry. I love me some Dak Prescott. Amari Cooper, you could make an argument that the second half of his season was Pro Bowl worthy.
And
but
he's
holy
there,
shit.
He's going too.
Holy shit. I mean, he's replacing Michael Thomas.
Right. Replacement, yeah.
Guys, Dak Prescott is not a Pro Bowl quarterback at this point in his career. I know he's went twice. He went as a rookie and he deserved it, but he didn't deserve it this year. Like, it's just not, there's way better quarterbacks, guys. There's way better quarterbacks.
All right, so there we go. The LA Rams going to the Super Bowl. Let's talk about it because we're heading in the AFC one. Conspiracy Avenue here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better for the NFL to have the newly positioned L.A. Rams, as it's just their third year in L.A., and the third year that L.A. has had a franchise since the Rams left there, better to have them in the Super Bowl than the New Orleans Saints?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Because they are facing the Patriots.
That's the other side of it, though. Is it better for the NFL to have the Patriots in the Super Bowl or to have a brand new team?
Because they are facing the Rams, it is better to have the Patriots.
Oh, I explain this.
Because the Patriots, and we'll talk about, actually, I want to talk about this in our
next
our
week?
Guide.
Oh, in the guide's part.
In the
okay.
guide tonight, because this is part of it.
Nice. Okay, then hint to that. Let's just move on to the Patriots winning in another overtime, 37-31. This was the AFC Championship game. Took place after that.
This was two games. This was a 7-0 shutout combined with a 35-31. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it ended 37-31 because they got the touchdown. And it was 14-0 at halftime because Brady hits him in the end zone right before the half.
But Mahomes can always come back.
Yep, yep. No, there was not much of Chiefs in the first half. It got a little scary. Right away, you were like, oh, boy. Because Patriots have been here. They know these games. And this is what it seemed like to start the game was, oh, we've played this the last 8 years. We know the big lights of this game.
The speed. We understand the motion of this. We got it.
The Chiefs just didn't until about halftime.
And to a degree, you have to assume that was Andy Reid, Mahomes, that was leadership in that locker room being like, dude, we can fucking do this. We are absolutely good enough to beat these New England Patriots. And in defense of these Kansas City Chiefs, they absolutely were. They totally could have beaten these Patriots, except they didn't. it's Tom Brady time.
By the fourth quarter, once the Chiefs were rolling on and as well as they were, it was who's got the ball?
Yeah.
And they're going to go score. And then we'll see where we're at with time. That's what it was, which is great. Sometimes that is one of the best games to watch. But obviously the defense, you want to see somebody do something.
Yeah.
There were more defensive made plays in that Rams and Saints game than there was in this one.
Every Sunday for the past couple weeks, because I'm a bad husband, I basically take over the TV, and there will be no arguments. I'm watching football. It's playoff football. We argue a little bit during the regular season. We don't argue in the playoffs. And I was trying to do my wife a favor and be like, let me explain something real quickly. At the end of the game, the Patriots had the lead, and the Chiefs were about to get the ball back, and Patrick Mahomes had like 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I said to her, think about this. Since Patrick Mahomes was 6 years old, Tom Brady has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
God, yeah.
Think about that. How fucking crazy that is. Since he was 6 years old, his entire knowledgeable life has Tom Brady being the greatest quarterback in the NFL, or at least in the top five. Now he has 3 minutes left in this game to come back and beat the greatest quarterback in NFL history. And he almost did it.
Yep.
God, for Pat Mahomes, you proved everything you needed to do this year. Absolutely the MVP, the rising star of the NFL. God, he throws some fucking crazy passes. I love watching this kid play football.
A little bit on those stats. Brady had 348 yards passing.
Of course he did.
A touchdown. But he did have two and pretty much three interceptions in this game. And big ones, too, that you don't remember. One of them in the end zone. Patriots could have gone up like 21-0 at halftime. Brady's got a third and goal at the one.
7-point lead already.
Drops back, a little quick jump off, and it's picked off by the linebacker. Amazing play. They saw it coming. They knew that play was coming. Denver picked off the same pass that Roethlisberger did it to him when Pittsburgh was in Denver this season. Same play, and it worked out there. So Brady, although good numbers, had a kind of an ugly game. Sony Michel, huge. Two touchdowns, 113 yards. Edelman, which I didn't even bring up in the divisional round against the Chargers, but Edelman is killing everybody in the middle of the field.
Oh, absolutely.
It didn't make sense how Edelman could just run cross route all day long, but I guess it's that zone defense, and then he even had man defense with the Chiefs, and he was still beating everybody in the middle of the field.
Yeah, the Chiefs did slightly better. The problem was the Chiefs just couldn't get to Brady.
That's true. No, there was no pressure on Brady, but Brady's going to get rid of the ball fast. What was nuts is that Edelman, this smaller wide receiver that's running the same route, was unguardable when he did it. Unguardable. Mahomes, 295 and three touchdowns. He came on fast. The running game was working.
Damian Williams looked good.
Three touchdowns, 96 total yards from scrimmage. And Sammy Watkins had maybe his best game as a Chief, 114 yards.
I think so.
The Patriots and Belichick take away your best weapon. That was Hill. They took away Hill in this game. They did it great. They doubled him up. He had one big catch where Mahomes threw it deep down to him in the, like, third or late fourth quarter. Yeah. Other than that, Hill was basically a non-starter, which was very impressive, and that's what Belichick does.
You knew it coming into the game. You go, well, there's just so many weapons. Sammy Watkins emerging really helped them. I think had Watkins not had the game that he had, this is probably a bit more of a blowout.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs, this does two things. It gives them confidence to come back next year. You go, you're not losing a lot of guys. People are going to want to play in Kansas City. You'll be able to get a couple veterans on, like, minimum deals that think, hey, the AFC West is pretty weak aside from this. We can go in there and do this if we go to Kansas City. And you go look at Mahomes and you say, well, is he already perhaps the best quarterback in the NFL?
He was this year.
Could he do it again? You know, what's he missing? What's, you know, is he going to have a drop back year, fall back year? I don't think so. He's still in the same offense. He's still got all these same weapons. Yeah, I'd want to play in Kansas City if I'm a veteran looking for a ring.
Yeah, no, and there'll be some positions there for skill players as they want to get more weapons around Mahomes. That's very true. You're talking about next year. I still want to talk about this one.
It's true.
Mahomes, so after Brady throws that interception in the end zone in the second quarter, Chiefs march it down the field. Mahomes has Damien Williams wide open really and did. Overthrows him and then gets sacked two times in a row to get himself out of field goal range and punt
Bad
the ball
decisions.
Back to him. It was rough to watch that because you're like, damn it. And then the Patriots just, all right, we got a little bit of time left. We're going to go get another touchdown before the half. Boom, 14-0 Patriots.
That, to me, was the difference. Watching Mahomes take those two sacks, that was when I was like, oh, right, he's a first-year starter.
Yeah.
Because that the Patriots tricked him into doing that.
Yeah.
They said, we're going to get a sack. We need to get a sack here because we cannot have them go in with points. We just can't let it happen.
And it worked. It worked, and they got out of there. However, Chiefs scored right away in the second half. It was 7-17 heading into the fourth. All right, this game was 37-31. It was 31 all at the end of regulation. It was just 7-17 heading into that last quarter. So if you're at home and you can find a way, just watch the fourth quarter.
It's fun.
Oh, my God.
It's fun.
So much fun. Plenty of four lead changes in that fourth quarter. Patriots dominated time of possession in the game total, had, in fact, double what the Chiefs had in time possession. That is a huge thing for a Chiefs defense that is not very good when they have to be on the field for that long. Yeah. That's a scary thing.
Chiefs defense that isn't really very good, period. I know they had a lot of sacks this year, but that was because their offense was insane.
Yeah.
You know, they were literally just playing from the lead the entire time.
Bend those ears back.
That's
go get them.
That's all they had to do.
There's a punt late in the game to Edelman, and he doesn't get it. Scoop, boom, oh, gone, throw the end zone. Now, quickly, Jim Nantz, and thankfully Jim Nantz did it because I took a second, too,
yeah.
As they're like, touchdown, Chiefs, and even the refs threw up their touchdown, and the points go up, and then Nantz is the only one going, well, no, you can't progress.
Can't advance it.
Can't advance a fumbled punt here.
Yeah.
And he was the only one saying it was like, oh, okay, all right, well, the Chiefs will still get the ball, though. And then we watched it over and over again, and what seemed to be like, of course he touched it.
He
of
had to.
Course he,
had
he
to
touched touch. It. This angle, I'm seeing the thumb move.
Aren't I?
Yeah, and then they go to another angle, and did he touch it, Dan?
No, he didn't.
I don't think he did either.
He didn't touch it. And amazingly, because watching that thing live, I was like, you done fucked up, Edelman.
And
I was screaming. I was like, fuck you, Patriots. I'm so glad. This is exactly what they needed. And that just sort of deflated me.
I mean, I sat there going, well, they called it a fumble.
It's going to be hard
to overturn
that.
It. Yeah, it's going to be hard to overturn that, and that's probably what it'll be. But we watched it over and over again, and even the ref that they have, the old retiree that they have in the booth there, was like, gosh.
Good old Gene Steratore.
Thank you. Steratore was like, if you could have put a gun in my head, he didn't say that, but that's what it felt like. He's like, I guess I'd say he didn't touch it. And then just sat back, and Romo's like, oh, God, I guess. I don't know. And sure enough, the
best
like,
color
sorry.
Man in the business, yeah. Tony Romo.
Sorry, we didn't see it either.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I had to sit back and go like, yeah, no, I mean, I want the Chiefs to win desperately in this game, but I think they got
fair
the call
is fair.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, I think so too.
And you have to look at a lot of these calls in this game in a vacuum of like, because every time it seemed that it was like, ooh, that is very close. Let's go and look at it. Let's take our time with it. It's going to land on the Patriots side. I'm sorry. You know, it seemed like every time. And as a Chiefs fan in that building, maybe if you're not seeing a good review of it, you got to be losing your goddamn mind.
I'd be losing my mind. The nice thing about that was that it didn't matter because on that next series,
there
Tom Brady throws a pick.
Two plays later, it's an interception off the hands of
Edelman.
So Edelman's fingers were gonna.
They wanted to give
him
a football away.
That's right. They're gonna lose him at one point. So no need to review that one. It's in the Chiefs' hands. And I think
Sorensen, the same guy that recovered the fumble, is the guy that got the pick.
There you
so
go.
Even like the turnover math was fine too, which is okay.
And I think he returned it better off
he
in
did.
The position than when he recovered it. So in the end, that one doesn't hurt the Chiefs as much. All right, let's move on. Chiefs have the late interception turn back, the would have been Brady's third due to D Ford lining up offsides.
I mean, D Ford was like a fucking yard.
They show the clip. Now, what was weird about it was an angle not shot right down the side of it, but from the angle they showed, it seemed like he was across the line.
Yeah, he was across the line. He was lined up in the neutral zone.
Will the refs warn players about that when they see it?
They will, unless you are a foot or two into the fucking neutral zone like D Ford was, and then they're like, dude, get out of the neutral zone. Are you insane?
So
they'll give you warnings.
Okay.
They do. We don't know if D Ford got a warning earlier in the game, but I also know that D Ford basically checked Tom Brady's pocket before the fucking thing was going.
He was across.
It was bad.
It was another one of those things that was like, oh my God, she's got the ball now. They could take over this. And then it was like, there's a flag. Oh no, don't tell me. And sure enough, that's what it was. He was lined up offsides. And I kind of agree with you too. Once I saw, I was like, yeah, all right. How about this? Belichick throwing his tablet onto the ground because of a no call on the pick play on the long one to Watkins that he takes it about to the two.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that play with Conley?
I didn't see. Well, I saw the play.
Yeah.
It was totally a pick play. But
okay.
Also, you get one of those a game.
That's true.
And err on the side of the thing that's more fun. That was way more fun. You needed the Chiefs to score points there.
It was an exciting play. Sammy Watkins takes it on down there. But again, I filed that into like a, well, here's the go. The Patriots aren't getting every call their way.
Because that was a pretty squishy one.
That one could have gone a certain way there too. So there's a stuff there. And then there's even a play where Barry's on the back of Gronkowski in the pass.
Oh, that was real. But that was pass interference all the way, and they didn't call
it.
Didn't matter because Gronk, you know, caught that thing. I think had he not caught it, you probably would have seen a late flag come out.
So, I mean, there was a little different things here and there, but it looked in a vacuum. Yes, the Patriots kept getting these lucky rolls, but they kind of were supposed to. Do you think the one-handed Hogan catch was a catch? Real questionable for me.
The one-handed catch?
The
one-handed catch, I do.
He brings it in, and it seemed like kind of... Well, he had another one that they did call.
They called it back. I think they called both correctly.
Okay.
Which sucks.
That's but where we're at.
I think they called both correctly. I really do think he caught the one-handed one. I don't think the ground helped him maintain control. The other one, you could see the ground was like, hey, here's a little juice. Here's a little bounce back for you. So I don't have any complaints with the calls in this game.
Well,
honestly,
the only other one is that roughing the passer on Brady where he just swipes his face.
But that's quarterback beautiful bullshit that's been happening all year.
Yeah.
You can't really put that on like, well, it's terrible. Like,
it is a
bad
call.
The hand came right in front of his face.
Yeah.
It's a bad call. I understand it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get where they're coming from. You know, can I empathize with Chiefs fans? Absolutely. If it hadn't been called, would have, you know, if he actually did hit Tom Brady and wasn't covered, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. If it's a little bit of contact to the face, that's fine. But I understand it. I don't think the refs cost the Chiefs this game. Just don't.
And not like the other side of the game and the NFC side.
No.
Yeah. There's your difference when you look at costing a game for a team. Patriots. Okay, so off the refs, Patriots go all the way down the field, get a touchdown, or Chiefs get the touchdown with just over 2 minutes left. Patriots have like all their timeouts, though. Mm-hmm. Are you not thinking of that time? This is just too much time.
It's too
for
much
Tom
time.
Brady.
It's too much time. Honestly, when he went down and scored, I went, okay, well, that's all she wrote.
32 seconds left, up just 3 points, and the Chiefs got to get down into field goal range.
That, to me, was more unbelievable that they were able to do that.
Absolutely.
I was really impressed with the Chiefs in that drive. And Andy Reid managing the clock correctly.
I'm going to take a step away. Andy Reid called a timeout with 16 seconds left, and it was their only timeout. If they ran up there and spiked that ball down or even threw a couple more passes to the sidelines instead of what they did do after that, they could have taken some more shots. I felt like they were settling for that field goal there. Now, at least it was a 39-yarder when it was all said and done for Butker. Much more makeable than what got even the Rams put Zerline in versus whatever. Even the one right out of regulation was 48 yards. It's like, you guys got too complacent here.
No, I think it was correct because the time it would have taken for them to actually get down there and spike that ball and set that ball would have been another 6 seconds.
Maybe.
Which means you don't get two
10.
Plays. You get one play, whether you have the timeout or not. Taking that one timeout, you do limit yourself. You say, okay, we can only throw to the outside part of the field or the end zone. That's all you can really do.
Yeah.
But I understand it. You were already inside field goal range. Don't do anything fucking crazy. You know, if Pat Mahomes knows he's got a timeout sitting back there, he maybe takes a sack and pushes you out of field goal range. He's already done that. I actually think Andy Reid managed this game correctly.
Okay, so then it comes down to overtime. And we have a coin flip.
This was the game. The game was the coin flip because the Chiefs, either defense was fucking done.
Yeah.
Either defense was done.
The fourth quarter was such a race, such a back and forth, and who's going to get there first that it seemed like whoever's going to have the ball was going to go win this unless something miraculous, a defensive turnover, happened. Didn't happen. What did happen was Brady converting third down and tens to get down there. One of those plays going the wrong way or falling incomplete or having coverage or getting to Brady, and they would have punted the ball, and the Chiefs would have had a shot. But their defense did not step up to the challenge there. They were just gassed.
The defense is the 31st ranked defense in the NFL.
Yes.
The same way I got on the Bears for being like, are you really going to blame Cody Parkey when he missed more kicks than any other kicker in the NFL? Are you really going to blame the Chiefs' defense when they were one of the worst defenses in the NFL this year? No. You know when it's Brady and it's overtime, if you lose, you lose. If you lose that coin toss, you lost the game.
There was a point where your boy Romo was like, they should really call timeout and give the Chiefs some time to catch their breath.
Didn't matter.
At that point.
It didn't matter. They were already inside the 20.
They were at the goal line at that point when Romo started saying, like, what's it going to do? Timeout. Like, catch their breath. I don't know. Like, at this point, it was like, they're on their heels.
You know that thing in... stop hitting him, he's already dead.
Simpsons, yeah, quote.
That was basically what Tony Romo was doing. Stop hitting him, he's already dead. You know you're going to score here. Yeah. You know you're going to get a touchdown. Please just leave them alone. Just punch the thing in. Let's all go home.
Okay. All right, so a couple of things I found about this game, because, oh, there was a lot of them.
Oh, boy.
38 fourth quarter points combined. That is an NFL playoff record.
Oh, yeah.
That was their fourth quarter. Kickers this weekend were 22 for 22 in both games. They did not miss. That's extra points and field goals. Oh, to have a kicker you can count on.
To have four you can count on.
Brady has not been sacked in these playoff games, 90 dropbacks. And it was Chargers and Chiefs that he was playing.
Wow.
Those teams that always sack the quarterback.
That's crazy.
90 dropbacks didn't get sacked. Patriots did four or five plays in the game against the Chiefs that they never have practiced. Just added Sunday morning in a ballroom walkthrough. If that doesn't scream Belichick to you.
That's the most Belichick-y thing in the world.
Makes up, I got five new plays. They're going to destroy everybody. Let's stand over here. Oh, my God, this is going to work.
Why did we never do this before? This makes total sense.
Playoff teams, when scoring 31 or more points with no turnovers, are 64-1 heading into this week. Now they're 64-2. Sorry, Chiefs.
Sorry, buddies.
No turnovers to the two for the Patriots. I mean... and then let's ratings. Ratings are up 26% more than last year's championship games, the most since last year's Super Bowl.
The NFL is done. Nobody watches the NFL anymore.
Or the highest in 7 years for the late game championship.
No one likes the NFL. Everybody's just a bunch of prima donnas.
I'm done watching them. And you know what? If you guys didn't watch those two games because you were on your soapbox, boy, you missed some of the best. And good
enjoying
for
that good soapbox,
for that.
I guess.
That's right.
Patriots, we're over here enjoying human suffering and excellent football.
There you go. I mean, to me, I think the Patriots, one of the reasons why they're in the Super Bowl, why they're here again, is they played a little bit with a chip on their shoulder. They were not favored. They talked about how everybody was counting them out. Oh, you're too old. Oh, we have no skill players. There is a soundbite of Brady talking to Hogan in that way. So it seems like you need to start giving them credit, Dan. You didn't pick them.
I did
not.
And
now
they
came out on that field to prove you wrong.
That's fine. If that's what it takes for Tom Brady to eventually fucking retire, that's what we'll need to do. If you win this, can you just fucking go away? Can you just leave me alone, goddammit?
Yeah.
Let someone else win a Super Bowl?
I don't know. He doesn't seem to stop, but yeah, we'll talk about it. And then finally, you brought it up, but Bob Sutton has fired today from defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
In 2016, had the team at 24th in the league in defense, 2017, 28th, and then this year, the 31st.
Not a trend we're looking for there, Bob.
That's trending the wrong direction. There is a rumor that it could be Rex Ryan taking over.
That, oh my God.
put Rex Ryan on the same sidelines as Andy Reid.
Oh, God. They would eat so many potato chips. They would eat so much good food down there. My God. Can you imagine? I think the entire locker room would weigh 700 fucking pounds with Rex Ryan and Andy Reid being like, snacks, motherfucker. Let's get snacks all day.
I know we're leaning on this stuff so much, but I still got more things. Overtime. All this talk about overtime. Mahomes didn't touch the ball. Isn't that such a shame?
No, it's not.
Here's the stats. In the NFL, 50% of the time you win the coin flip, you win the game. 50%. Now, there's ties.
That also
ties.
Means 50% of the time you don't.
That's not true because there's ties. 42.5% if you lose the coin flip, you can still win the game. 7.2% you tie winning the coin flip. So
that's
what,
fine.
Yeah, it's very, very even, and that's what I'm trying to get at. And I'm hearing a lot of arguments of like, not fair. We need to do something about these overtimes.
What do you want to do, college football?
You just
rules?
Watched the Patriots move it down there. Well, college football, 54.9% of the time you win the coin flip, you win the game. And usually you're picking to go second in college too, but that's beside the point. No, I'm completely agreeing with you, and I think I'm just trying to make this clear. It's like, look, the other game, the Saints got the ball first, and they did not win.
Let's not circumcise the mosquito here, guys. Everything's okay.
Chiefs, you wanted to stop Brady? Put some better people on defense, stop one of those third and tens, and get them off the field.
Fire Bob Sutton Saturday instead of
now.
Monday
or Tuesday. Get them off the field the way you can. So I don't agree with the whole we need to change the overtime rules.
No, the overtime rules are fine. They did need to change. I think the changes that they made were good. I think we're good, though.
Yeah, which they changed in 2012, and that's where we're at now. So we are at 50% of the time you pick the coin flip correctly, you're going to win.
Totally fine.
Which is exactly what a coin flip is, 50%. All right. Well, we know the matchup, and again, we're going to spend more time with this next week. But Rams versus Patriots is our Super Bowl LIII championship.
Lie!
Which from now on, I will be calling it Super Bowl LIII. Because when, other than Super Bowl time, do you get to use Roman numerals anymore?
I mean, I send a lot of cryptic messages.
Oh, so, really? Via Roman numerals? Yeah, okay. I was going to say, like, the Rocky movies have stopped doing that.
Yeah, they're like, nah, we're
they've reset it. It's all Creed movies.
Yeah,
now.
Avengers, everything has a title.
That's
so.
Right. There's no reason to do these other than the Super Bowl, and we are at Super Bowl LIII. This is a rematch of Super Bowl XXXVI 26.
A little symmetry here.
Brady's first Super Bowl win.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. I don't want to get into too much. Tom Brady has more Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. Well, that's in the second part, too. I'll leave that one up. This is the 15th time in 16 seasons that an AFC QB in the Super Bowl will be Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it's kind of not fair. He just needs to get the fuck out of here.
15.
One of them's retired. The other one's basically homeless and becoming Terry Bradshaw. And then the other one's Tom Brady. Just get the fuck out, Tom.
Who's the one? Who's the one guy that broke the combo? 15 out of the last 16 in the AFC.
Oh, wait. Who was it?
Come on.
No, I'm dying.
He's elite.
Oh, Flacco. I forgot about Joe. Oh, man. Me and everyone else forgot about Joe Flacco.
This was the first time, or this will be the first time two number two seeds to, match up in the Super Bowl.
That seems strange.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. But there we are. And then Goff is now tied with the lowest total playoff touchdowns to get to the Super Bowl with one. With Russell Wilson.
Fuck you, Jared Goff.
All right, those are the stats I came across for that Super Bowl so far, but that's where we're at, and that's what we'll be discussing next week. But we need to get you guys all ready for what you're going to be watching on February 3rd and make sure you know what's going on with those. So when we come back from this break, we will be talking about, Dan, what we've been talking about?
The Non-Football Fan's Guide to the Super Bowl.
All right, right after this. Stay tuned. When I was a young boy, I was working for the state. I wasn't making much money. I was staying out late. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back from our break. I know that we've already discussed all the games and everything else, but the Super Bowl is just about a week and change away, and you're going to have a lot of new viewers with you at your Super Bowl party. So maybe this is something you play to those listeners before the game starts. Dan?
So, you aren't into football, that's fine. It's not for everybody. There's honestly no accounting for taste. Football's very easy to avoid normally. You just have to kind of stay away from the TV on Sunday. But you are currently approaching the high holy holiday of sport, known as the Super Bowl.
Ah, so great.
For football fans, this is a deeply religious time. Mm-hmm. You must understand that. Deeply religious. It is a simultaneously great and terrible experience. Yep. Now, something we do here at the Push-Off that we think we do better than anybody, an analogy. Imagine you put together a season finale watch party for your favorite show. Maybe it's American Horror Story. Maybe it's The Americans, which I'm on season one. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It's a show you've been deeply invested in all year.
Well, 5 months, and but there was no weeks off through the holidays
through
and
no
all.
No mid-season break, nothing like that.
We're all hitting it. All right.
Okay, now imagine that half the people that came to your watch party were more interested in the commercials than the show itself.
Oh, how dare they.
Honestly, if that happened to you in real life, you would tell all of those people that came for the commercials to get the fuck out of your house. Mm-hmm. But as football fans, we're not allowed to do that. We have to remain civil. But at the same time, what if those people were just a little bit more familiar with your show, understood a few more of the plot lines?
That's right.
Maybe they understood the characters. They'd probably like it a little bit more. That you wouldn't have to kick them out of the house or get angry. You just put together a little guide so that they can guide their way through this unfamiliar territory.
Okay, okay. Let's give them this guide.
It's simple enough. Here is what football is. We're starting with the bare bones.
Oh, boy. And I guess, disclaimer, myself as a football fan, and I'm sure you can attest to it too, I started as like learning the game and learning what a penalty flag meant and where a marker goes and all this stuff. And I learned about my team and I learned about the players on my team. This is well, in years before I ever knew offensive coordinators on teams, whose contracts were up, coming up. We're not asking you for all that stuff. You're a brand new viewer. We just want you to enjoy the game as much as the other people that have followed this all season long.
Yeah, watch it as a story. Watch it as a simple thing. That's what we're going to talk about.
That's right, okay.
So football is like any other sport in the world. Score more points than the other guy.
Gotta get those points. It's like John Madden. Yeah. A team that scores more, they're going to win.
John Madden, by the way, is a famous football broadcaster.
Yeah, well, yes. We probably got to explain that.
So there's offense. The offense tries to score. And there's a defense. They try to stop the offense from scoring.
Simple enough.
There's also a kicking team. It's called special teams, but
that's why it's called football.
It's football. Yeah, that's how we get the name. Touchdowns are almost always worth 7 points. When they're not, someone will explain it to you.
Okay.
They'll let you know. You don't have to worry about it. Field goals are worth 3.
You get a choice.
And there's a thing called a safety, which is super duper rare, and it only happens in one part of the field, and when it happens, everybody lets you know, so you don't have to worry about it.
Nah.
You also have the option to punt to make the other team be further away from scoring a field goal or a touchdown. Does that make sense?
I think we get to a little bit more of the punting and fourth down choice, right? Here? Yeah. Explain that.
So there's 3 chances, basically, to move the ball 10 yards. If you get it 10 yards, you get a chance to do it again. There are 4 chances. The 4th chance, most people either punt, go with a field goal, or they gamble. Yeah.
And what's the gambling mean?
So if you choose the first 2 points, the first 2 options, you either get points or you kick the ball away. That 4th one is a gamble. If you get the 10 yards, if you finally get across that 10 yards, you get another 10 yards. But if you don't, your opponent gets the ball exactly where you failed.
I guess I got to ask, too, why not try the field goal every time, Dan?
Because you can only kick it so far.
And if you miss it?
If you miss it, the other team gets the ball exactly where you kicked it from.
So just like the fourth quarter, but even or the fourth down.
But even further back, you go 7 yards further back. So it's a huge loss in yardage.
Okay.
So most people don't try to kick until they're really close to the score anyway. So you don't have to worry about that either.
Can I do the second part?
Yeah, by all means.
Let me get you into a little bit of the math. Some of the numbers. There are a total of 32 teams in this league, and those teams are split into 2 conferences.
So 16 and 16.
Yep, that's right. Now you have the American Football Conference, the AFC, or the National Football Conference, the NFC. This Super Bowl, you're seeing the champions of each conference, so to speak, coming up and meeting each other. only the AFC and NFC play in the Super Bowl against each other. Not two AFC teams, not two NFC teams. You got me. From there, it's broken down further into divisions from the conference. North, South, East, and West, four teams in each of those.
I'm a Cowboys fan. We're from the NFC East. And it doesn't make any sense.
Nope, I'm a Vikings fan. That's Minnesota, NFC North. A little bit more sense, but divisions have been moved around in the past. Six teams in each conference make the playoffs.
So at the end of a season, 20 teams don't make the playoffs. Unlike basketball, where almost the entire fucking league makes the thing.
Yeah.
Especially with hockey, there's 30 teams, 16 of them make it. That's a little crazy. Only 12 make it.
Yeah, 12 make it, 20 do not. So your season's done then, and the 12 that do, you get to go on. Maybe one more game, if you're lucky, more than that. The teams with the best record after 16 games in 17 weeks, because every team gets a rest on Sunday, like Jesus. In their division, if they win their division, they get a home playoff game. So of those four divisions, North, South, East, and West, you have the best record in those divisions. You're guaranteed a home playoff game. If your team has one of the two best division championship records, so of those four teams, you have one of the two best ones, you don't even need to play week one of the playoffs. You get an entire bye week, and you just sit and wait for your opponent to come out of that first round of the playoffs. That first round is the third and the fourth division champions, and then two wild card spots. And after you know the top winners of each division, who has the best record, the wild cards are determined by the two teams with the best record after that.
Doesn't get really complicated.
It is. It starts getting more complicated in there. But for example, the LA Chargers this year went 12-4, which is an amazing record. It's very good. It was the best record in the AFC, except for their division counterpart, the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs also 12-4, and Kansas City, due to many different reasons, had a better record in tiebreakers. We'll just leave it as that. But because of that, the Chiefs had a bye week, weren't even playing week one, got a home playoff game week two, and the Chargers were on the road playing week one because they didn't win their division, even though their record was so great, they were still a wild card.
Here's the best part of all that.
Yeah.
You don't need to know any of it.
Well, they weren't.
Because the only teams that matter right now,
yes,
are the New England Patriots and the LA Rams.
They won two games each. Mm-hmm. And that was enough for them to get to the Super Bowl because they didn't have to play that first weekend of the playoffs. There's three playoff weeks that we just had, but they both had bye weeks. They are the number two seeds.
So who are these teams?
Well, yes, let's learn.
The Patriots are a brutally efficient football team that has the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of all time.
That's not true.
Really debatable.
Not anymore.
The Rams are a West Coast team that doesn't have any fans, but they have the greatest defensive player alive as one of the best running backs in the NFL.
Dan, why do the LA Rams have no fans?
Because no one wanted them in LA. They used to be the LA Rams. Mm. Then none of their fans showed up to their games.
Oh, no.
So they moved out of LA and moved to St. Louis, where they had a lot of success and became the greatest show on turf. You know who Kirk Warner is? I don't know, maybe. Mm.
I remember him.
And then in St. Louis, they got greedy. They wanted a new stadium. St. Louis wouldn't pay for it. And so they went, fine, we'll go take our ball and go home to L.A. And they went to L.A., built a brand new stadium, and no one wants to go to their games because L.A. doesn't give a shit because there's way more fun shit to do out there.
Yeah, you got Lakers fans, you got Dodgers fans, but the Rams fans are few and hard to come by.
It's really a bummer.
All right. Why do the Patriots have the best quarterback and head coach of all time?
Well, let's talk about the coach here for the Patriots.
Yes.
It's Bill Belichick. That's how you say his name. It's Belichick. Don't worry about how it's spelled. It's Belichick. He is the greatest coach of all time. Mm. It's not even really close. If anybody starts an argument at your Super Bowl party that he's not the greatest coach of all time, walk away from that person. That person is stupid. And they probably don't know sports, or they're just trying to start a fight. Don't worry about it. His entire career has been him doing excellent, crazy stuff that defeats the NFL's rules for parity, because the NFL wants everybody to be equal.
Yeah.
He's done such crazy things, they've literally changed the rules to make him less effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy.
Yep.
Now, his quarterback is Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady is the most famous football player on earth, maybe ever. He is so good-looking that he could probably still have gotten his supermodel wife, Gisele Bündchen, on just his looks alone. He's very handsome. He's won Super Bowl MVPs. He's won MVPs. He is the New England Patriots. He is an institution. The problem is, no one really likes him anymore. He was once a plucky upstart. He played college football for Michigan, which is one of the great all-time teams, but he wasn't even the starter. Nope. He had to trade spots back and forth with a guy who never wound up doing anything in the NFL. He took over, eventually, for an injured superstar. He was drafted in the sixth round. That superstar, by the way, had a mega contract that he had just signed. He was supposed to be their quarterback for the rest of the future. But when he took over, he was clutch, which means really good when you need it the most. He was handsome, but kind of boyish. You know, he looked like a guy you knew from college, and wow, you're just so happy for him. But now, he's hardened. He's exacting. He's a bit of a crybaby. He's that guy at work you don't like dealing with, but he's really good at his job. He is the New England Patriots. Now, Tom Brady is a dynasty.
That's the Patriots. This is what we've seen over, God, I brought it up. It was Super Bowl 26 was his first time there. Now we're at Super Bowl 53, and he's still playing, and he's still going there. So, God, over half the Super Bowls, it's basically got a Tom Brady type of connection.
Since 9/11. Think about how the world has changed since 9/11. Tom Brady hasn't.
Tom Brady's only gotten better. Okay, well, that's the Patriots.
So now there's the Rams.
The Rams.
So the head coach of the Rams is a guy named Sean McVay. Sean McVay was the youngest ever head coach to be given the spot of head coach in the NFL. Uh-huh. Youngest ever. He is still the youngest head coach in the NFL.
33, I believe?
Yeah, he's a young dude.
Young dude.
He is a wunderkind. Uh-huh. He is considered the greatest offensive mind currently in football. And there's some debate about this, but there's not a lot of debate.
He took over a Rams team who was yearly 8-8.
Terrible.
Middle of the field. Anything between 7-9 and 9-7 was their record. They weren't going anywhere, but dead even, and he turned them around pretty quickly.
This is who he is. He is a guy who took this moribund team and turned them into something. So now you have the greatest head coach of all time mm-hmm. versus the young rising star.
Yeah.
This is kind of a theme that's going to happen a couple times here. Can Sean McVay, can this offensive mind finally surpass the defensive genius of Bill Belichick?
Mm-hmm.
Will Tom Brady, who played the Rams in his first Super Bowl, get a chance to beat them yet again for maybe his last Super Bowl?
Crazy.
Now, the person standing in his way on the other side of the field is Jared Goff. Now, I'm not going to get into how I personally feel about Jared Goff.
Hey, that's big of you.
Because I want you to just be able to watch this thing. If you really want to know how I feel about Jared Goff, listen next week. Jared Goff is a former number one overall pick. We do a draft every year, and out of all of the guys that could be selected out of college, they picked him first. He was the most desired. Doesn't mean you're the best. It just means you're the one they wanted the most.
Right.
He's from California. He's kind of a surfer dude looking guy. He's considered a young and rising talent. But he's not even one of the top five best players on his team. As a rookie, he was actually surprised to learn that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west every day.
Yep, that was Jared Goff. Yep.
Not the smartest man in the world. Nope. A guy who has kind of been a football brat for a long time. Yep. He's been the highly touted guy. He was the anointed one as a very young person.
Mm-hmm.
But now we need to talk about what this game means for quarterbacks. It means the most for quarterbacks. Maybe head coaches right alongside with them.
Yeah.
But for coaches and quarterbacks, if you win, you are guaranteed riches. You are guaranteed legendary status. If you lose, people will always wonder whether you have what it takes or whether you've got it anymore. If Goff loses, he might have squandered his only chance to ever get to the Super Bowl. People said, oh, you'll get back again. Ask Cam Newton how easy it is.
That's the thing. Tom Brady, he's been, this is his ninth Super Bowl.
Yeah.
How come nobody else goes back that fast?
Because no one else is Tom Brady.
That is.
Are there a lot of Michael Jordans rolling around? Nope. He is the Michael Jordan of football.
Tom Brady has now going to be at more Super Bowls than any other franchise in their history outside of New England themselves.
If Goff wins, here's what's at stake for him. He can pretty easily wear the crown of best young quarterback in the NFL. Best young quarterback. There'd be some debate, but he's now a Super Bowl winner mm-hmm. if he winds up taking this crown. So what does it mean for Brady? Well, if he wins, it means that Tom Brady is the winningest person of all time. There's two guys that have five Super Bowl rings. One is Charles Haley, who you don't need to know about, and the other one is Tom Brady. if he wins the sixth, he would be the only one to have ever won six Super Bowls. That's it. No one probably will ever do that again. The legacy is secure. But what happens if he loses? Well, that means Tom Brady will have lost two Super Bowls in a row. Hmm. He'll be 5-4 in Super Bowls.
Hmm.
He'll be a legend, sure, but there'll be a little bit of tarnish on that statue. People will wonder if it's all over. If he comes back, he'll have to climb the mountain again at 42 years old.
Oldest player outside of kicker in the NFL.
Now, don't get me wrong, he'll be fine. But as an old man, it will eat away at him. He will look over his vast wealth, his tracts of lands, his beautiful family, and he will feel a forever nagging. For real, though, he's kind of a psycho like that. He kissed his son on the mouth.
Yeah, we all know. That's
we got to talk about that a little bit. He kisses his son on the mouth. He's just one of those guys. I'm not saying there's anything like sexual about it, but it's weird. He's just a weird guy.
Yeah. Yep, I would agree.
So, that's mostly what people are going to be talking about at your Super Bowl party.
Mm-hmm.
You now know a little bit more about these guys than maybe some other Jamokes. And hopefully you care. Maybe you want to do a little bit of research. But maybe you're interested in the rest of the team.
Okay.
You don't want to talk about only these pretty boy quarterbacks and their head coaches. So, who are the Patriots? Well, they're all just kind of journeymen and scrappy dudes who barely hung around the NFL. And there's also one guy on it who you might know. His name's Rob Gronkowski. He's an anthropomorphic emoji. He just came to life. He's like a big thumbs up or surfer guy. All he does is wear muscle t-shirts. Also one of the greatest tight ends of all time. Doesn't really matter. Aside from that, the New England Patriots are just scrappy veteran guys. They're basically the team of, you know, what America believes itself to be.
Okay.
That's what they are. The Rams, on the other hand, are Hollywood through and through. They have the best running back in football. They have the best defensive player in football. They have two all-pro cornerbacks that they traded for, gave away some picks. They have a guy named Ndamukong Suh, who's one of the great defensive tackles of all time, but he signed on a mercenary contract for about $14 million. This team has first-round picks at almost every level of the field. There's so much talent on this team, it is ready to go. The problem is, this is the last year they've got for it.
Mm.
They basically put all their chips into the table and gambled on making it to a Super Bowl this year, and they gambled everything to potentially win the Super Bowl. So there's the upstart team versus this young, but perhaps overconfident young team coming in to face the upstart New England Patriots.
The Patriots are the upstarts.
No, the Rams are young, but the Rams are the anointed ones. The Rams are the ones that say, hey, we're the future of the NFL. The Patriots are going to basically hold off and say, all right, you know, our scrappiness, our team mentality first will beat these superstar LA Rams. So decide who you like.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you very much, Dan. I mean, I think that's what you're looking at here is a Rams team that went out, spent the money, got the names, built a team around it that they were comfortable with making this run. And the Patriots are like, this is another year, and this is what we do. We come to these
our
games.
Job is win football games.
And our job is win football games, and our head coach's quote is, do your job. That is his slogan.
Real romantic.
That's what they do. Great write-up. I think it gives us a good head start, guys. Hopefully that helps you guys get ready for the Super Bowl and give you a little bit more of a look into it as you get ready for February 3rd. Now, for all our listeners, our weekly listeners, we'll have our deep dive into Super Bowl LIII.
We're going to get into the nitty-gritties, guys. We're talking about contracts.
Next
we're
going to
be
week,
talking
yeah.
about lineups. We're going to be talking about defensive formations. How people... Guys, I'm sorry. If you're still listening and you were listening to the basic guide, we're going to be talking about the Rams sort of hybridized 3-4 defense running against this Patriots sort of pseudo-West Coast fun and gun that they've been running. Guys, it's going to get real weird.
Going to get real weird, so you want to stay tuned for us that next week. We don't have to spend a lot of time on the Pro Bowl. We've already explained it's a joke. Don't worry about it.
Go Dak.
There you go. Dan, I'm going to give you some crazy stats to
please.
End it up here for this game. I got a few of them. This will be the second time in history that the Super Bowl is matched up with the World Series as the teams share the same cities.
Huh.
Boston versus LA. It was Red Sox and Dodgers, and now it is Patriots and Rams.
Hmm.
The only other time this happened, 1969. New York City versus Baltimore. We got the Mets and the Orioles, and we got the Jets and the Colts.
Huh. Weird.
All right. Another crazy stat here for you, Dan. Three teams have been to three Super Bowls in a row, all of them from the AFC East. We had what is going to now be the 2017 and 2018 and 2019 Patriots.
Obviously the Buffalo Bills, the four falls of Buffalo.
Which was 1990-1993. So technically Bills did 4 years in a row.
True.
But they were one of the three. And then the 71-73 Miami Dolphins.
The Dolphins won two of those, didn't they?
I believe so. I don't know exactly how many the wins were here, but that this was only the Patriots'
first
time going
three. How many wins did the Bills have?
Ugh. Oh, no.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. God, no. We didn't mean to get a shot across the Buffalo Bills here. Sorry about that. It just sneaks in sometimes.
There you are. All right. Here's another one. Since 2000, teams west of the Mississippi are 2-7 in the Super Bowl.
God damn.
Only the Broncos and the Seahawks are those two wins.
And they're real far west.
Yep, since 2000. And then finally, Dan, a question for you. What QB has the lowest interception percentage of all time with at least 500 attempts?
Dak Prescott?
It's Jacoby Brissett.
Good for you, Jacoby.
How about that? Of all time. Of all time,
good
Jacoby.
For you, Jacoby. You proud
time,
of you.
An all-time stat there.
Jacoby Brissett is an all-timer.
That's right. All right, folks, we just had the best championship weekend of maybe
so
all time. We got our matchup for Super Bowl LIII. Super Bowl 53 is Patriots and Rams. We will be back next week to discuss that with you guys. Thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you guys enjoyed our little talk to the non-football fans, getting you ready for that Super Bowl. I'm sure I know I did, so I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, just take that small part of the Push Out podcast and push it on people that you think need it.
There you go. Put it on there. And then let them all know where to link, rate, and subscribe us. That is at thepushoff.com or anywhere where you get your podcasts. We are part of the Universe Head family. Check out all the great shows at universehead.com. Something I don't say a lot that we should say, thank you to the Limbos for giving us use of their theme song.
It's true. It's
our theme song for it. It is Drunk on Pop. Check out the Limbos where you can. They are a local Chicago band here. Dan, anything to leave us with? Words of wisdom.
Guys, root for whoever the fuck you want because I'm so unhappy. If you root for the Patriots, you're going to make people mad. If you root for the Rams, no one's going to care. So, just decide which way you want to be.
That's right.
I'm rooting for the Patriots this year.
And if you just want to have a good game like myself, enjoy those commercials, enjoy a tight one, I think we're going to get it.
I think so, too. I think this is going to be a hell of a game.
It's going to be a great game. We've had a great year. Thank you guys for joining with us today and all year long. We'll see you next week. This is The Push Off. I am Scott.
And this is Dan.
Have a great one.